Hi guys, this is Sulema.
And Vince.
And we're the Tone Deaf Hippies. Welcome to our new podcast. This is our first one. And this is actually retake number like 100 and something. So this is a music podcast about useless,
Information.
random information about our favorite
Our
bands.
favorite.
Okay, yeah, pretty much.
It's about
This
the layman's favorite topics, or I don't know. Whatever.
okay, yeah, that's pretty much what it is. This is just for fun. We're not trying to say that we know anything about
Well,
music or music
oh, well, did you
history.
know that one is fake? Like, they
No.
drugs. I'm like, oh my God, I don't
Yes,
care.
this is like Wikipedia, but so you don't have
Useless.
to, yeah, so you don't have to actually go on Wikipedia. You could just listen to a podcast and say, I didn't know that, but now I do, and it's still the same. Anyway, so for our first episode, we're going to talk about the Beach Boys and the Beatles, and I chose the Beach Boys and the Beatles because I think there's so many similarities between them. And yeah, I think they're pretty much the Pepsi and Coke of, music.
Or a reference for you people, Salima's age, NSYNC or
Yes.
Backstreet
Oh, that's a good one.
Boys. I'm not
Okay.
even
Okay, so we're
making
going to start with the Beatles,
fun
the Fab Four.
of you.
We're gonna talk about
Fabulous.
John, Paul, Ringo, and George. They were from Liverpool, England, and a lot of places on the internet have disputed that they started in 1959, while others
I mean, look up the scholarly source,
say
the
yes, exactly, say that they started in 1960.
The
So, if anyone out there really knows about it,
and
wants
write an
to
angry email to Salima.
just comment below. Anyway, but yeah, they were from England, and Lennon and McCartney were the songwriters pretty much, and they it was really weird. They were both, they would write about what was going on in their lives or how they saw something, and then when they referenced it to one another, it would fit to a situation that the other one was going to, but in a different way,
Okay.
it just and it
It
worked.
was relatable.
Yeah, exactly. And it worked. At the beginning, their songs were very
Wanna hold your
commercial.
hand.
Yes, very
We won't get
commercial.
sued by me saying that, right?
I hope not.
I
Well,
wanna
I
hold
hope not. But yeah, they were very like poppy, bubblegum, easy breezy, fun teenage girls, boy band type thing. That's actually where that whole thing started from, boy bands, or when they say like the girls are all like crazy over the boy bands and boy crazy and things like that. That started with like Beatlemania, like the English
Are you sure it didn't
invasion.
start with actors? Because I have a feeling
No.
that started with actors.
No, the whole thing about the actual, like when they're crazy about bands, like how you were saying the beat
Okay.
with the NSYNC and with NSYNC and Backstreet Boys, or like Jonas Brothers, the Beach Boys, you go through that. As a girl, I can say for sure every girl goes through that, their embarrassing boy band phase. The good thing about it is that the girls from the 60s that were into the Beatles, it's not that embarrassing though to be boy crazy over the Beatles as opposed to like Jonas Brothers or something.
I think this is all up in your head because a
Of
lot of
course, this
people
is
don't agree with
all,
you.
no, yes, of
I
course,
don't
this
agree
is
with you.
really. Well, tell me your thoughts. That's why
No,
you're
just
my
that's a, what?
co-host.
No, I just judging
no,
you.
No, but okay, let's just judging me. Okay. Let's jump into random information about the Beatles.
So you can easily Google yourself.
Exactly. That you can easily Google yourself. We all know that the Beatles, you know, played a vital role in the creation of rock and roll history. And we, you know, a lot of people that know that are hardcore fans about, you know, from the Beatles, know that George Martin was the record producer and Norman Smith was the record engineer, which they have gone.
Who are these people?
Well, they're I just said what they were, what their titles were, the record producer and the engineer that helped the Beatles, like, with their sound.
My
like
point
their,
is, like,
their...
what's the point of their name?
Well, that's what I'm
just
getting
said,
to.
The
Hold
producer.
On. Oh, well, it's the random information.
Oh,
the Cliff
oh,
Notes,
oh,
I guess.
Oh,
know?
Yeah,
like,
true.
Fun facts. Exactly.
Oh, let me see all your fun facts there, kids. Like, oh, God.
Yes, that's exactly it.
And yes, people, Suleyma actually wrote that on her little notes. Fun fact. So and so wife.
Yes,
lived in Laurel
I
Canyon
did.
Or something about.
Well,
she also
no,
was
no, 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 you're getting ahead of yourself. We're not getting into Laurel Canyon
oh, yeah.
yet. Right now, let's just come on.
That's
We're
true.
Just talking about
the Beatles.
Okay, the
oh,
Beatles,
yeah.
yes. So, I was talking about their sound. Their early sound was easy
twangy.
To see. Well,
that's,
no.
That's
what
you left off.
Oh, yes. Because I was telling you that
in video,
he,
I was
that
like, I don't
John
understand
Lennon,
what twangy music sounds
well,
like.
Well, John Lennon played this guitar, a Rickenbacker, and it's used in a lot of, like, country music. And it has kind of like a twangy kind of... I don't know how else to describe it. When you listen to country music, you could distinguish a country song from everything else.
I think of the banjo when I hear it, think about country music.
Really?
That's
the banjo? Yeah. I mean, yeah, but it doesn't always have like a banjo and it still could be country music.
I
think you're thinking more bluegrass.
I
like,
think so
yeah,
too.
Yeah. Okay, well, they were more like, okay, their inspiration was like Chuck Berry, for example.
Oh,
and Chuck
roll.
Berry... started the whole
Johnny
rockabilly, yeah, the rockabilly kind of genre and, you know, rock and roll and genre and stuff. Mm-hmm. And what he did is that he took, like, the blues and made it into something new. They used him. They were huge fans of his, so they kind of had that, like, sound or those tones, undertones to it. It was, like... nobody had seen that at that time. It was...
in a white man, in a white...
Well, I mean, yeah, actually, that might be it, and it, you know, they were just...
Don't forget, they're always talking about race.
Okay. Anyway. So, at the beginning, yeah, they were like that. They were easy breezy kind of music, very commercialized, but then they grew up, you know, like we all do, and they reinvented themselves with the Sgt. Pepper's... No, I'm sorry, with... Rubber Soul in 1965. And, you know, they were older. They were in different points in their life. They had already
but
been doing
this
for 5 years.
Did they
years.
Do this, like, on their own? Or were they,
no,
like,
they did.
Or
they,
like,
you know,
oh,
they wanted
we're older
to.
Now. Let's change.
No, well, I mean...
Or was
personally,
it like
we
a,
all grow up
natural,
and we all have different...
Was it a natural
I think it was a natural
thing
you know?
Think?
You know, I think it's a natural
it sounds like
thing.
It could be like a total corporate thing, and they're like, oh, let's make them do this.
You think so?
This.
No,
know.
I think it had a lot to do with the drugs they were doing, you know. Like I said, everyone in the 60s, or, you know, there was a lot of cults in the 60s and things like that. People were trying to just find a higher power or something out there, God, or anything like that. Just something different than what the world was like. You know, remember, we got to remember that Vietnam was going on at this time and everything. So a lot of people used music to kind of, oh, yeah, I feel like that. You know, this is how I feel. Maybe someone else in the world feels like that. Don't you feel like that when you listen to a song sometimes? that it fits so perfectly to some specific situation that you're going through that it feels like it would be a soundtrack of your life. You don't feel like that?
No.
Really? Yeah. I do. There's times that I'll listen to a song and I'll be going through something, whatever it may be, and it like fits perfectly like a glove, and it's weird to know that someone out there, maybe that's why I'm like that with music, to know that there's someone out there that thinks that way, like me.
Are you gonna start crying?
No. Oh, you thought I was gonna cry? No.
Yeah, I'm like, what the hell?
No.
I'm like, you're getting teary eyed. I'm like, what the fuck? I'm like, what did I?
No.
I'm like, oh god.
No.
What did I sign up for? I mean, I was forced into.
No, I'm not gonna cry. No, but I think that, you know, it had a lot to do with the drugs they were doing, the maybe meeting new people too that thought differently, war going on, just so many things that were going on at that time, and real problems, not like we have nowadays.
What are you talking about? Oh my god.
Right? Okay. So, yeah, they did Rubber Soul in 1965.
And what songs are that?
And
what songs are those? Because I know some songs, but...
Well,
like,
no, hold on. Before I lose my train of thought. Because I keep losing my train of thought. So, yeah, Rubber Soul, 1965. Yeah, that's where their sound kind of changed. And then in a lot of the interviews that he has done over the years, they were asking Paul, you know, what made you change your sound? Actually, not Rubber Soul, but it was the Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band, that one. He had listened to the Pet Sounds album that Brian Wilson had done, mm-hmm. and he was like, whoa, nobody has ever done that before. That's something completely different. Or, and he drew inspiration from it, and so they were never actually like rivals or anything like that. Mm-hmm. They used each other for inspiration. And so I think around that time specifically too, the both bands had very, very similar sounds. Like, if you had never heard a sound, a song, and knew who it belonged to, uh-huh. from those two albums, it could be really hard telling who's who. You know what I'm saying? When...
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, and at the beginning, they were very, very different. So that... And that's actually the main reason why I chose these bands, because they did draw from each other's music as inspiration. Let's see, everyone knows about Beatlemania and, you know, going boy crazy, the British invasion and all that. And this all really kind of happened at 1965. They had played the Shea Stadium and made a documentary to capture all the crazy girls and fans and things like that. And, their first hit in the U.S. was in 1964, and it was I Want to Hold Your Hand, and it was there for 7 weeks until it got kicked off the charts after 7 weeks for She Loves You, which is another song of the Beatles. Oh. So they pretty much outdid themselves, you know. But yeah, as we all know, I'm a little biased with the Beach Boys, so I do know more useless trivia about the Beach Boys than I do with the Beatles. But anything you want to add or anything of the Beach Boys? I mean, sorry, the Beatles. Yeah.
No. No.
No.
Well, the Yoko anything Ono from... broke them up.
Oh, yeah, that's right. We didn't touch on that one. Oh. After the 70s, 1970 was their last album that they recorded together, and a lot of people have said, you know, Yoko Ono broke them up. But to tell you the truth, when you read some of the stories that, yes, she has written, but still, like, she was like a mother figure to him. It was a lot for her to take, you know? You know how, like, she actually, for a few years, they split up and she made him date this assistant girl that she hired. And they call it John's Lost Weekend. And she allowed him pretty much to have this affair and live with this woman. Yeah. She was like, we need a break type of thing. No, this really happened. She just couldn't take it anymore. And she was like, we need a break. She hired this woman as like his personal assistant and let him have an affair with this lady and like move in with her and everything.
What?
Yes.
That's
crazy. I know. And a lot fun of that, fact. But you know, fun fact.
But, I've never heard about that. That's why.
Really?
Yeah.
See, it was a fun fact then. No, yeah, that happened. They call it John's Lost Weekend. But they, you know, everyone also remembers the part where they say that she broke them up and everything. But who can really make someone like break up someone, you know? He probably already wanted to leave. He was tired of it. They'd been doing it for 10 years.
Oh,
you know, he was like, I'm done with that part of my life. I want to move on. I want to talk about different issues or different things. Mm-hmm. And it just happened to be that he met a girl. He's like, this is my chance to get out. I don't think it was like, you better leave the Beatles to be with me. I don't think it was like that. I think
it's
it
them or me.
Like, yeah, I don't think. But yes, everyone has always said, Yoko Ono broke the band, Yoko Ono broke the band. It just happened to be that.
They broke themselves.
Exactly. I mean, you can only do something for so long, then you're like, okay, I've done as much as I possibly can with that thought, that concept, that sound. I want to try different things. Yeah, at that point, the band was a bit avant-garde and art pop kind of music, but maybe he just wanted to try other things too, other styles, or, you know, artists do that all the time when they collaborate with other artists and different,
like, I'm bored of this.
Yeah like featuring blah 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 featuring Cardi B. Oh, God. You know, so but yeah, I think that's pretty much all I have to say about the Beatles. Not that I don't love them or anything, but like I said, it's Pepsi and Coke. I prefer Coke. And to me, Coke is always going to be the Beach Boys. Of course. Come on. How can you not be biased towards the Beach Boys? They went to our high school. I told you, like, okay, this is a real story. I kid you not. I remember in high school, we had a battle of the bands. And we were in the auditorium, and I kid you not, that thought came into my mind, like, oh my God, I'm standing in the same place. You know how some people do that with their teens or idols or things like that? Like, Brian Wilson to me was a musical genius, seriously, and to just know that someone that lived literally six streets away from where I was born and raised, and I am completely different. I have no musical talent whatsoever. It's just weird to know that, you know? That's
I
like,
guess.
It's so weird,
you're,
you know?
Weird.
Just
you're
somebody
weird.
From nowhere, you know, from Hawthorne, California, a little blimp. Like, it's nowhere, you know?
I guess.
Well, nowadays, everyone's from Hawthorne, California, or Inglewood, California, you know?
What?
Yes, because now it's like the hit place because of Forum and the Rams, you know? So everybody and their mama is from Inglewood, California. Anyway, let's not get into that. Back to the Beach Boys, who went to Hawthorne High School.
Whose house, actually, I know, is not there because the freeway is. They tore it down to make the freeway.
Fun fact. That is
a fun fact that I know about the Beach Boys.
That's a good one, actually. That is a good one because it's true. Yes, they lived on 119th Street, and that's where the freeway overpasses now, right?
It's where the freeway is.
But there is the monument there. They built the little monument. Have you been to
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah, I've
So,
never been one.
okay. Beach Boys. Let's see. It consisted of Brian Wilson, Carl Wilson, Dennis Wilson, Al Jardine.
They're all like related, right?
Well, yeah, and Mike Love. Mike Love is cousins with the Wilsons, and Al Jardine was friends and schoolmate of Brian Wilson, the
Oh.
guys. He just went to Hawthorne. They were just
Okay, so
friends.
he's just
Yeah.
a friend.
He's just a friend,
So
yeah.
it's brothers, a cousin, and a friend.
Exactly.
Oh.
Exactly. And their dad used to be in the music industry, I think, in
Oh.
the late 40s, early 50s, kind of like doo-wop music type thing, you know?
Really?
Yeah.
I just gave her this face that I'm like, I don't think
No,
that's right.
no. He was
But I could be
a
wrong. I don't know.
no, he was a
I don't know.
songwriter. And so they loved music. And so they grew up with like having family sing-alongs at home and things like
Oh,
that. Yeah. But you know
God.
what? He has an ear for music. Like it's like he hears something that we don't hear, or something that people wouldn't, some notes. He puts together notes that people that are musicians that have been to prestigious music colleges and things like that haven't thought of putting those compositions together and things like that, you know? So, but he does have, you know, mental illness. He's been diagnosed as schizophrenic.
Oh,
Yeah, so, and he has a lot of like weird phobias. So he is actually scared of the ocean. And actually, Dennis Wilson was the only one that
wow.
was a surfer, a real surfer. And he's the one that gave Brian the idea because it was just starting that, like,
All the whole
the
surfing
whole,
teen
yeah, the
and
whole surfer
so what's it
scene
called
in
like surf
California.
surfing teen party beach or whatever they made a
Yeah.
lot of those, like movies for
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
teenagers.
And this, you know,
Like,
it had
look at
just, but
us.
you know, that's what they thought California was all
A really
about.
good fun a good really mo a funny movie that makes fun of that
What?
those movies is Psycho Beach Party. It's
Psycho.
really funny.
I
You should
gotta
watch
check
it. It's
it
really funny.
out. Well, anyway, he's the one that gave Brian the idea to do surfer
Beachy
fun.
stuff.
Yeah. And he's young at this time. I think he was either 17, 16 or 17. So yeah, you know, it's just a fun garage band. They don't think it's gonna go anywhere. He really doesn't even imagine, you know, that it's gonna go beyond high school years, you know? He thinks, okay, I really like music, but I don't think it's gonna go anywhere. And his dad, like I said, he had already been here and there in the music industry, so he did have connections, a few connections. And he heard them play, took it to the label, and they signed them with Surfing, which is a song that Brian Wilson wrote as a classwork, homework or a project or whatever you may call it at Hawthorne High, and he got an F on it. He failed, which is weird because
And it becomes a
he
really
failed.
famous song.
Yeah, he failed, and then he
And prove the fact that
also
most Americans are really dumb because they'll listen to the song that failed in the high school exam and love
Just because
it.
somebody failed it's their personal opinion. Maybe they didn't like it, you know, because they were already seeing that he was mixing these weird notes and things that people wouldn't really see. That's why he failed him. And look, it also lent him a recording contract. So, okay, so he was also a fan of the Four Freshmen, which was an a cappella rock and roll type of group that was in the late 50s. It was four men. They were
what songs do I know of them?
I actually don't even know any songs of myself.
Then why'd you bring it up?
No, because he credits them a lot because they were that style. Like, he didn't even want to use instruments to begin with when he first wanted to do his group with his brothers. It was just them always singing in the living room, playing along with the piano or something like that. Like, he didn't really want to use the instruments. Actually, Dennis Wilson was the only one that didn't play any instruments, and that's kind of why they gave him the drummer spot, because they're like,
really?
Well, you don't know how to play anything. The easiest instrument to play and to learn really quick is going to be the drums. Here you go. Yeah, that's how he became the drummer.
Oh, I didn't know that. I thought the drums were, like, more complicated.
Well, I'm not a drummer, so I wouldn't know, but...
But you just said...
That's how they
said... It's easier? I don't know about that.
Well...
But, okay.
Oh, and another thing... No, they gave him the wrong... They gave him the wrong, drum set too when they bought them, because they didn't know they didn't know not a kid size, but
a monkey size,
a right-handed one, and he's left-handed, so he's like playing it wrong. He's playing it backwards,
and then it sounded good.
I don't know. Okay, but yeah, so at the beginning they were the California Sound, beach waves, girls, hot rods,
and saying bitchin',
talking about be true to your school and eating ice cream at Frost or Freeze. You know, but just like the Beatles, also they were growing up, they weren't in the same place, they wanted to,
and they too did a lot of drugs.
Exactly, a lot of drugs, LSD and marijuana, I'm sure, and possibly other things, but you know, it was it's pretty much when
they stopped deciding to be goody two shoes.
I think it's where it made
409, 409, or what's that one song?
I think it's where it made and broke Brian Wilson, because it made him into the person that came up with Pet Sounds, which is one of the best albums ever, according to my, you know, like, my
I think
opinion.
I've seen it on a lot of, like, lists. Like, when I...
Yeah,
you know,
it is.
It's always on, like, the top, you know, albums.
Because nobody had ever done that at that point.
Yeah.
Brian Wilson was the first one to use the actual studio as an instrument. He was very particular about if the sound was off, he would cancel recording sessions if he didn't feel a good vibe, you know. So everyone kind of thought he was weird and eccentric and a little off, but a genius, you know, that he had an ear that he could... They were, like, comparing him to, like, Phil Spector, which is another, you know...
interesting guy.
Exactly. But... so yeah, when he was doing LSD and everything, it gave him the push to do Pet Sounds, but then it broke him, because after that, ever since then, he says that he has never been able to stop hearing, like, voices. Yeah, so he hears voices on a daily basis, like,
Are you serious?
Yeah, he does.
Are you sure?
Yes, I'm sure.
Oh,
Google it, or Wikipedia it.
Or listen to these.
Or listen to this podcast, because I said it, so it's true.
Just like Wikipedia.
Exactly.
If it's on there, it must be true.
Exactly, just like Wikipedia. No, but yeah, he does, he hears voices. So, I've always thought that, though. Like, haven't you thought that the people that are the smartest people in history have always been a little off or eccentric or weird? It's like they see or hear or think differently than all of us outside of the box, and that's why we look at them as weird. But, you know,
maybe
it's like,
yeah.
I don't know. To me, music, like I said, I in my head, there's times that I'm like listening to a song and I'm like, did they write this song about me when I'm going through? It's like, that's how I feel.
You put too much emotions in the song.
I do. And some I do. I really do. There's some that I don't. Music, you know, changes your mood and your thoughts and things like that. And it's happy. And, you know, like I said, the same thing with the Beatles. It's wartime. What else are you going to do? You're going to try to cheer people up and get their mind off of stuff or make them think deeper and peace and love. And, you know, you got to remember, this is the 60s. This is like Flower Child and Summer of Love, things like that. So and what I was going to say at this, now we could talk about the Laurel Canyon. So in the 60s, a lot of the bands that were a huge part to the counterculture were living in the Laurel Canyon area. And a lot of them were friends with each other, so they would, you know, have jam sessions, and there was a lot of cross-pollination.
Oh my god, you're seriously gonna use that?
It's true, there was cross-pollination in the sounds, the concepts, okay. You know, the...
No, yes, I agree.
You know, just, I don't well, yeah, agree it's with like, the, it's like anything. It's like, work. It's look at our friends. Like, who do we hang out with? People that have similar no, tastes.
Like, no, us, I agree. Just, no, you attract no, yeah, other weirdos. If you're a weirdo, you. You're going to attract with right? you. I agree with you. I just don't think you should use cross-pollination as a word.
As a phrase. What would you like, call it? Okay, so if it's not cross-pollination, like, what would you call it?
I don't know. It's just like...
That it's using each other
each for... other. No, like, they were just like vibing off of... Yeah, like vibing off of like...
Oh, I see what you're saying. I'm using the professional word for cross-pollination. Yeah,
like the professional word. I don't know about that, but...
And you're using vibing. Like, yeah. 2020. Hashtag vibing. Okay, sorry. Okay. So they were vibing, not... Off
no,
each other.
Not like that. Just like whatever. Okay, just keep going.
Hey, move on. Dude. Okay. Actually, you know, from the Mamas and the Papas.
Yeah.
Okay, Mamas and the Papas.
This is a little fun fact.
Another little fun fact. Yeah, John and Michelle Phillips from the Mamas and the Papas lived next door to Brian Wilson. So a lot of their stuff crossed too, you know, their kind of sounds and what they were writing about, because they were always over there. Actually, they would hang out a lot when he was doing Pet Sounds. Oh. So oh. You kind of hear some of those tones in the same songs in each other's songs, you know, like in the Mama and the Papa songs.
When it gets depressing.
What?
Like when it gets depressing?
When it gets depressing and deep. It's not depressing, it's deep.
Oh.
Right?
I don't know, but it sounds depressing to me.
But yeah, there was a lot of people that lived in Laurel Canyon. There was Frank Zappa, Jim Morrison, Joni Mitchell. I can't remember who exactly from the Byrds.
So basically all these bands, basically.
Exactly. It was just they would get together
and jam out, man. It's the 60s. Let's all smoke some hash.
And drop some acid.
Do you really think it was like that? I doubt it.
You don't think so?
No.
Why not? People still do that together nowadays. They
hang out like every day.
Well, if you're a musician, your whole life is playing music. So if you're hanging out and playing music, it's not really just, you know, every day that
they
are doing stuff.
True.
Okay, so let's wrap this up. The last couple of things that I wanted to say about the Beach Boys and the Beatles, and I don't know if we really even took the time to compare them both exactly one by one.
No, because they
separately.
Like a long hour like documentary and thing.
Okay, well, let's compare one.
Just a little Quibi. Yes. Like, you know, have you heard about Quibi?
No.
Make this a Quibi.
What is Quibi? That?
It's like some stupid new Netflix type thing. What are those things? Streaming service.
Oh.
And they're done in like 10-minute videos or whatever. And it's like, what? I don't get it. Like, I don't get it.
Well, whatever. I think the kids nowadays have fun. Yeah. Okay.
We're gonna go off topic.
Yeah.
No.
So I wanted to compare two songs that I think are really, really, really similar from both bands. So from the Beatles, it's the song For No One.
Which one's that one?
I just told you, For No One. But I'm going to tell you, hold on.
Oh,
I'm going to tell you about it.
I don't know.
Okay,
song.
So the song, remember when I was telling you that when John Lennon and Paul McCartney wrote the songs together, they would write separately about each other's lives and everything. So that's around the time that like John Lennon had met Yoko Ono.
Uh-huh.
And in the song, it's pretty much like telling you, like, if there's something you want, go for it, you know. And he saw it like a sign that like Paul was telling him, go for it, pretty much. And actually at the same time, Paul was going through a divorce, and he was writing about it saying that he wanted to leave, that there's no love, you know, behind her eyes anymore and things like that. At the same time, there was Caroline No. Now, when Brian Wilson wrote this song, he co-wrote it with, oh my God, I cannot remember who he co-wrote it with. It's not in the, I can't even remember right now. I can't.
Okay.
I'm sorry. Well, look it up. But he co-wrote it with somebody. The person that was co-writing it, I cannot think of his name right now. He was writing about a girl named Carol. So he was writing, Carol, I know. And Brian Wilson thought that he was writing, Caroline, no.
Oh.
You get it?
Yeah.
So he changed the title of the song, and then when he heard it, he liked it better, so he's like, leave it. So over the years, a lot of people, now there was a girl named Caroline that Brian Wilson liked that he went to high school with. So what I was trying to do is trying to get the records at Hawthorne High, like their yearbooks, to see if they still have the yearbooks from the graduating class of 1954 or 1955. I can't remember if she was a junior or senior when he was, but to see if she was still around. So if anyone knows who this Caroline is that graduated in 1954 or 1955 at Hawthorne High School, maybe a grandma or...
Oh, my God. You know,
let me know in the comments below. But, yeah, they have speculated over the years that, oh yeah, he wrote that song for Caroline, the girl he liked, but no, it wasn't even about her.
It was just
her.
A coincidence.
It just, exactly.
Oh my God. See, those
I
people
know,
like
but,
you that
but
read
I
into
found
things
out,
too much.
But I found out because I was going to go to that extent and call Hawthorne High and see if they had the yearbooks and do all the research and everything.
But
and
I couldn't because of the coronavirus.
Thank you, coronavirus. Okay, so yeah, that was our podcast. Yes, like I said, this is just a silly thing. It doesn't mean anything. It's just fun.
Fun. Just like the Beach Boys.
Exactly. I hope you guys enjoyed it. So, yeah. And I hope you guys enjoyed our banter of Vince Montenegro and Salema Wagner. We're the Tone Deaf Hippies. Check us out next week.
But I'm not
week.
A hippie.
Check our next episode. It's going to be on Fleetwood Mac and the mamas and the papas. If you have any comments,
don't eat sandwiches when we talk about it.
If you have any comments or questions or fun facts, make sure to comment below. Thanks. That's it.
Bye.
Bye.